It is one of the extraordinary facts of church history, Christian history, that for over 1500 years the church has been engaged, sometimes with tremendous intensity, in controversy concerning the nature of the Eucharist or the Holy Communion. People have been put to death in their hundreds for not, according to the other side, holding right beliefs about the Holy Communion. Well, in that respect, we probably live in a more enlightened age, where on the whole, people are not persecuted for what they do or don't believe about the Eucharist. I say on the whole, it still happens to some extent in some countries. And theological controversy has centered on the nature of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. How is he present? And so you get the definition of the Roman Catholic Church, that the present is explained with the word transubstantiation, that the bread and the wine are transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ. And although the accidents of bread and wine remain unchanged, the substance is changed. The substance is no longer bread and wine, the substance is verily and indeed the body and blood of Christ. The Lutherans rejected the word transubstantiation and they coined a word consubstantiation. And their doctrine of the presence is, generally speaking, that although the bread and the wine are not actually changed, the presence of Christ is round and about, under and above the bread and the wine. But when you stop the service of Holy Communion, that presence is no longer there. So therefore you cannot do what the Roman Catholic Church does and what the Anglicans do, reserve a sacrament. You cannot reserve it and keep it to be used on other occasions. And so one could go on with many definitions in different parts of the Christian Church. I think the latest definition comes from Holland, and the latest word, and this is a post-Vatican II word, is transignification, if you can swallow that one. That the signification of the elements after consecration is changed. Well, because the focus has been on the material of the Eucharist, that is upon the bread and the wine, and upon the local significance, understanding of the universal significance has been lost. Understanding of the universal significance has been lost. The preoccupation has been all down here. This tremendous, intense preoccupation with what happens to the bread, what happens to the wine after the prayer of consecration has been offered, how Christ is present, and this tremendous inward-looking preoccupation has gone on through the centuries. Now, to understand the universal significance, we need first to grasp what is, in fact, the essence of the Eucharist or the Holy Communion. The essence is to enter into communion with Christ. Now that's very simple and should be very clear. The essence is to enter into communion with Christ. How is this done? It is done by becoming aware of the reality we call the Christ from the heart. It is done by becoming aware of the reality we call the Christ from the heart. There are, as we know, different levels of consciousness. The physical. And if you see it in terms of layers, you can see it like this. There is the physical, there is the emotional, there is the mental, and above all, there is the spiritual. And to centre one's consciousness in the spiritual realm, and we're not for the moment trying to define what we mean by spiritual, but to centre one's consciousness in the spiritual realm is to have Christ consciousness. Now you can see perhaps the significance of the steps we sometimes take in meditation. Become aware of the body. I have a body, but I am not my body. Become aware of my emotions. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. I become aware of my intellect. I have an intellect, but I am not my intellect. And then to center, as we frequently do, in the light within the heart. This is to begin to move into the realm of the spiritual, or the level of Christ consciousness. This is why we are told in the liturgy, lift up your heart. You see, the words are all there. Lift up your hearts, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. Here we are. This is the verbal, the articulation of the reality. And it is at this level that we begin, and this takes a long, long time. It doesn't happen one Thursday evening. It's a long, long process. It is at this level that we begin to perceive the universal nature of the Eucharist. You see, again, as we rise up, we reach a plane from which we can view the whole and from where we can move out. The universal nature of the Eucharistic action. For here we begin to enter into relationship to what we have today in our previous sessions called the Christ principle or energy which permeates all things. So we move up, if you like, and then we move out in a universal way. Now, we're not all aware of this in a flash, and we may never be able to articulate it or particularly want to articulate it in this way, but this is what is happening. The divine principle, or the Christ who permeates all things, this is the body and the blood of Christ. This is to receive the body and the blood of Christ. It is the essence of all things. In fact, it is the only permanent factor in an evolving and, in some sense, disintegrating universe. We are now moving into communion with the only permanent factor in the evolving and, in some sense, disintegrating universe. We are building up the light body. We're building up reality. We're contributing to it and we're receiving from it. Now listen to what St. Paul says. And hold this, if you can, a little bit in mind as you hear these words. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, it's all too easy to keep that anthropomorphic picture. Now, we know when we stop to think that Christ isn't sitting on a throne next to someone called God, because God has no form. So this is pictorial language, it's imagery. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we're moving on to a level of operation which will have its culmination at the end of the evolutionary process in Christ appearing in a blaze of glory. So every time we take part in the Holy Communion and seek, however falteringly and however badly, to lift up our hearts, we're moving into this sphere, this eternal sphere. And all this relates very much to healing in every way, to wholeness, to relationships, indeed to life on the physical, life on the emotional, and life on the mental level, because all these levels are then permeated from above. Listen again to what St. Paul had to say. He's writing to the Christians at Corinth to explain to them a little more about the meaning of the Eucharist. And he says this, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of Christ. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died.'" To penetrate the Eucharistic mystery, we begin from the heart. The signs and the symbols are pointers to tremendous reality. And of course, penetrating this reality does not depend on partaking of a ritual Eucharist. That is one of the things, I think, that ecumenism has taught us in the Christian Church. But we are privileged to have the signs and the symbols. Can we, as we enter into the Eucharistic action this evening, be aware perhaps in some new way of this tremendous reality into which we are penetrating? So we bring our minds from the level of speculation into quietness. We reverence our bodies. and hold them in our consciousness. I have a body, but I am not my body. Just be aware of our emotional body, the tensions that are built up during the day. Frustrations and the anxieties, just for a few moments we let them go. Let them go, be aware of them, and breathe them away. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. Aware of the thoughts that crowd in, the sequence, and we let them go. I have an intellect, but I am not my intellect. And we say with Christ himself, I am. Center, at the still center, the light within the heart. The light in one is the light in all. And the light encompasses us all. the light and the love reach out to all mankind. For the love of God is broader than the measures of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind.